B-Pod Studios.
O'clock hour, Mike Mussoli Show, brought to us by Corporate Leafs Bakery and Deli, world-famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays, every bit as good. So, the Phillies are having this back-in-town type of situation, and I neglected to label this guy as one of the guys that, when you're talking about capture the imagination of fans, has Rhys Hoskins reached that plateau yet?
Nope.
He has not reached that plateau yet.
No, the person who people most talked about, unfortunately or fortunately, was the manager.
So he's reached that plateau.
He has. People are fascinated by this manager, both positive and negative. He's a weird guy. He's a really intense guy. He's doing all these analytics. No,
I don't feel that with him.
He's the star of the team.
I don't feel it.
Well, you don't, but I'm telling you, people.
I don't. He's Gabe Kapler, and he's quirky. I get it, but I don't know if he's like in that category of he's captured the imagination of fans. I think people look at him like a curiosity, which doesn't give you the label of capturing the imagination of fans.
Okay, what I'm saying is he's the most popular or unpopular member of that organization, more than player, more than Nola. People mention him.
Well, he's polarizing.
Yeah.
That's why.
Here's the people participating in the Phillies. They're calling it the College Winter Summit.
Okay.
And they're doing a fan-fueled week of events, including player selfie opportunities and a baseball clinic and a Shred Hate Anti-Bullying school event. That's nice.
Yeah.
Participating, Gabe Kapler, Dylan Cousins.
Really? No.
Rhys Hoskins.
Great.
Andrew Knapp.
Okay.
Hector Neris.
Yeah.
Nola.
Great.
Nick Pavagina.
Okay.
Come on, Nick. Nick can't be on that. Nick Williams.
He's all right. He started all well.
And other special guests, including that.
My man. The Fanatic?
Oh, yeah.
Of course he's there.
The Philly Fanatic will be there.
He's everywhere.
I wonder if the Fanatic's upset.
At what?
At what?
Man, Gritty's taking a lot of that shine away as the top mascot. Is there any beef underneath the mask?
No. The Fanatic's classic.
I think we need a steel cage match.
I'm saying. I think we do. You wouldn't be shocked
between those two nincompoops.
They're not best friends. The Fanatic and Gritty. No way they're best friends.
See, Gritty has nobody in his corner.
No.
People love
Gritty. Paul Holmgren. But the Galapagos gang is in in the Fanatic's corner.
Yeah, they're going to jump them.
Those goofy misfits.
No, the Fanatic is a Philadelphia institution. Yes, Gritty's the new guy in town.
Right. It's like, do you think there's any, static?
It's like Coca-Cola Classic and then, the new Coke.
I think Gritty will subside.
You think?
Yeah, and the Fanatic will
continue.
Emerge victorious.
Yeah.
Drew in Westchester, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Drew.
Hey, Mike. How you doing today?
What's going on, Drew?
Hey, man. I was a little bummed about our call yesterday, but you had me intrigued today, so I wanted to call about the challenge.
You want a topic?
Yeah, why not?
All right. Pontificate on the Machado Harper thing.
I knew we were going to come to this.
There you go.
All right.
Give me your best.
My best is here. I like Harper. I think he brings more of a Philly attitude to the city than Machado does. I like that he plays the outfield more so. Mm-hmm. I think our infield can be handled with what we got, or maybe make a few little additions here or there. But I definitely think we need help in the outfield. And I love his bat. I was actually just watching him. They were showing a rerun of the Home Run Derby from a couple of years ago, I just really like his swagger, so I think he'd be a good Philly guy.
Okay, now let me ask you this. Do you think that they are flirting with disaster here, letting this go on and on and on, and it is possible that they don't get either one, and if they don't get either one, what's your feeling?
Yeah, no, I'll be heartbroken if they don't get either one.
Will you be angry?
I will be angry.
Because I'm not going to be heartbroken. I'm going to be ticked off.
No, I'll be angry because, Mike, we have the money is there, and it's not our money. It's like you said before, you know, like, give the guy the money, pay him, you know, pay that man his money, you know, let's get it done.
Okay. All right. Drew, you handle that very well.
Thank you, Mike.
All right. Good job there. Now, here's the thing. I had a dream. Last night, actually.
Okay.
Machado signed with the White Sox. Harper re-upped with the Nationals. I had an actual dream of that happening last night. It was brief. It didn't have a lot of storyline to it, but it just kind of popped in my subconscious that Manny was a White Sox and Harper was a National.
Didn't they say that the Nationals are completely out?
No, because the Nationals have already offered him $30 million for 10 years. So if no offer exceeds that, why wouldn't he go back there?
No, that's where he'll go. Now, all right.
They thought they were out, but the offers now have not come over that number.
Okay.
So they may be able to get him at that number now.
As a fan, if that was to happen, I would then, unless I was being paid to be there, I would boycott going to any Phillies game this year, regardless of their record. Would that be a violation for me as a fan?
No, I think that you should be angry enough to do that because they're fiddle faddling.
Right.
And I know, Jason talked about it, you know, they don't want to bid against themselves. Go, you know what? Go ahead and bid against yourself. Do you know what's at stake here? What are you saving pride? You're going to bid against yourself? Bid against yourself. What's the difference? You got the money.
Right.
What's the hardship of bidding against yourself?
In fact, unless I was being paid to be there, I wouldn't go until they got Trout at that point. So I might not go for 2 years. That's how mad I would be about that. If the scenario you laid out happened, which means at the end of the day,
dream.
They didn't pay.
Listen, sometimes dreams come true, sometimes they're...
I hope this one was more a nightmare that just won't come true.
Go to Stymie in Lehigh Valley. Stymie, you're a 97.5 Fanatic. Stymie.
Hi, how you doing? I can't believe you guys forgot that Peyton Manning won multiple Super Bowls as well.
Yeah. Yes,
I also want to hit on, like, the Sixers. I agree with you, Mike. I'm not sold on them right now. I don't believe that we can win on the road if we going into Toronto, and we don't play that well going into Boston either.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of fans have to remember, Kyrie Irving and Hayward, they didn't play in the playoffs last year. So my thing, if I was Brett Brown, I'd really be concerned over these next 12 games of the security of his job. And also one other thing that you brought up is the deficiency thing with the quarterbacks have to play a lot better. The Eagles, they had a lot of things missing this year. Jay Ajayi was out. They lost LeGarrette Blount. They lost Torrey Smith, who was the deep threat, and also Frank Reich, quarterback coach. That's a lot to lose on an offense.
Don't forget DeFilippo, the great offensive mind, now applying his trade in Jacksonville, where he's going to make them a supersonic offense.
Right. that's all I had to say.
Okay.
You guys have a good day.
All right, you got it. Now, here's the thing about the Sixers. And Tyron, I think this is right. I think I read this. Their four starters grayed out better than any four starters on any other team?
That is correct. Yep.
Okay. So what does that tell you? Now, you can either look at it two ways. You look at it like, okay, the other eight on the roster just aren't good enough. Because your four are grading out. Those four can't play like 35-plus minutes every night. So the other eight aren't good enough. So that question now goes to the coach. How is that the coach's fault? And you would say, well, he has the responsibility to make other players better. But if you're a player who is just a mediocre player, is it realistic to expect that a head coach in the NBA is going to make you better? And who would those players be that he has the responsibility to make better?
Yeah, they don't have it on this roster.
Okay. Is there any player that you can blame Brett Brown that is he's not making that player better, that you see something in that this guy should be playing better and Brett Brown is responsible for making him better? Is there anybody that comes in that category?
The only one that's close would be, it is kind of unacceptable that T.J. McConnell, because he played so much last season, came back this year unable to make that corner three. Now, I don't know if you blame Brett Brown or you blame him, but it's unacceptable for a backup guard in this league, knowing how this offense is built to get to hunt for those corner threes, that he came back without one. Other than him, I'm not going to blame him for Korkmaz. I'm not going to blame him for Shamet as a rookie. I'm not going to blame him for Muscala or Bolden. No, no.
Right. So this is what I'm saying. The people, and I'm not like trying to support Brett Brown here. I'm really bringing this up for discussion for people. Because this is all you hear. Well, every time they lose, it's Brett Brown's fault. Brett Brown is not making his team better. Now, I just gave you a stat. Four of the starters graded out better than any four in the NBA. Which means the other eight, including the fifth starter, is giving you nothing. Nothing. Or you wouldn't be losing as many games as you're losing. So how is that Brett Brown's fault? It could be. I don't know. Somebody could make a case that it's Brett Brown's fault. I'd love to have a discussion with people.
There are people who, one thing you have questioned, and a lot of basketball people have questioned, are his hockey-style substitutions.
Right.
And he doesn't, some people say he should stagger his substitutions.
I think he's cut
better.
Down on that, though. Has he not?
He did, but then...
He's not doing the hockey line substitutions anymore.
He did against Minnesota, but they were smoking him. So let's see what happens tonight. These next 12 will tell. If he's doing that against Indiana, Toronto, you know, in those teams, then that's questionable. Let's hope he's not doing that.
Okay. All right. I mean, listen, maybe Jonah Bolden's the one guy that you could charge the head coach with trying to make better. That maybe that it's taken too long to get a guy like that to contribute. And he should be a contributor.
But he is getting minutes lately. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was coming from overseas.
He's a hit or miss guy.
Right. That's,
you know, that's the thing about him. He's a hit or miss. And against good teams, do you actually think that you can trust a guy like Jonah Bolden and throw him in an important spot against Toronto or Boston or Milwaukee and hope you're going to get that kind of contribution? I mean, I don't know. Maybe you can. I'm just not seeing that so far. And I don't know if that's Brett Brown's fault. Walter, Mount Carmel, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Walter.
Mike.
Walter.
I haven't talked to you in a while.
What's going on, Walter?
Listen, all the Eagles fans up here in Mount Carmel are upset. But remember, I told you the general manager for the Chiefs is from Mount Carmel, Brett Veach. So we're all sticking for the Chiefs.
Okay.
I hope you are, too.
I love you guys up there in the Pocono area. Calling the show. I love it. I love the accents.
I'm not in the Pocono. Well, I'm far from the Pocono.
Well, where's Mount Carmel?
Region.
It's close enough. You're okay. The coal region's close enough.
But here's the thing. I am so upset with all these Carson Wentz people, including Zachy from Shenandoah, that he's only 15 minutes from me.
I know. Shenandoah and Mount Carmel are close.
We're that close.
Yes. All right, so what's your spin on this Wentz-Foles thing?
There's two types of big-time quarterbacks that win Super Bowls.
Yeah.
The guys like Tom Brady, Drew Brees. Mm-hmm. They drop back, they pass. They're able to do this for years and years and years.
Right.
There are certain quarterbacks, once they lose their legs, they can't move around, they're nothing.
Okay.
Donovan McNabb is one.
Okay.
All right. It's happening to who's the Carolina quarterback? He's starting to
Cam Newton.
His legs are starting to go.
Cam Newton. All right. Well, that's fair. Fair assessment. Get to your point on Wentz here. What are you saying?
Well, here I am. Wentz last year, two games against the Redskins, big time plays, a great touchdown in the first game. He ran all over the place. He finally threw it. Touchdown.
Right.
The second game, we thought he was sacked on that Monday night.
Right.
He
wriggled out of it.
Ran about 30 yards. Uh-huh. He didn't pass it. He ran it.
Yes. Walter, are you saying that he needs to run more? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, if he has these two big injuries, and there's no guarantee he's going to be 100%, if he loses that ability to move around, I don't know if he's going to be worth Tom Brady.
So Walter, are you saying they should have kept Foles? I'm trying to get to your point here.
Yes.
You're giving me the cold region two-step.
I would never do that to you.
Well, what are you saying? Yeah, is it yes? Are you saying false?
Mike, I drink Sambuca too, you know. So
Well, I was trying to get to where he was going. What was he saying? Is he suggesting that Wentz's legs are gone and therefore you're not going to get the same performance because his legs are gone? Is that what he was saying?
He's saying that they're going to go and you won't get the same performance.
So he was a Foles man.
He was a big Foles man.
All right.
And a Cole man.
And yes, he was a Foles Coles man.
Yes, that's what he was.
All right.
Yeah.
Do they still mine coal up there?
I don't.
Well,
it's pretty much over, isn't it?
I don't think so. I feel like that was one of the things
that was talked about, how coal's still down. People thought coal was going to come back. For whatever reason, coal didn't come back.
I didn't invest in coal. I get the problems with the uranium.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Uranium's not doing so hot.
My uranium is a little down.
Should have listened to Lucy.
But you never know if the uranium market.
I guess not. If it was popping in the 50s.
Right. It could skyrocket. Let's go to Nelson in Allentown. No, let's go to, where are we going? Dennis in Jersey. Dennis, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hello, Michael.
What's up, Dennis?
26 days of pitchers and catchers.
Are you excited?
What about the Phillies?
Yeah. Right now, you're worried about pitchers and catchers? I'm not excited yet about pitchers and catchers.
Well, it's baseball season, you know.
And baseball season's not going to do anything for me unless they get one of these guys.
I hear you. I agree with you. But I think it's the manager and the general manager. That's why people don't want to come here. That's just my opinion.
Now, let me ask you a question. If you're a star player, why would you even care who the general manager or manager is?
What, a manager?
Yeah, why would you even care? You're a star player. They put you in a lineup every day. It's not like they can mess with you. You're the star player.
When the guy talks, he makes my skin crawl.
Yeah, but players don't care. Players care about one thing. They're in a lineup. They're in a spot. They hit. Gabe Kapler's not going to affect either of these two dudes.
Well, that flip-flop in the outfield was like a spring training guy.
Well, you think he's going to flip-flop Bryce Harper?
I hope not.
And McCutcheon? That's what I'm saying. They're settled. They've got nothing to worry about.
Okay, back on the Foles here.
All right, go ahead.
New York Post today.
Mm-hmm.
2 years, $36 million on the table.
2 years, $36 million for Foles?
Yes.
And that was in the New York Post?
I think he takes it.
I got to check that out. I read the Post every day. I didn't see that.
Well, you got to read through the tea leaves here. They're moving. They're going to move on from Manning.
Okay.
If Foles will accept 2 years, $36 million, he's a giant.
All right. Well, I got to check that out.
I think you
have to get a long way to get to that spot. By the way, you got to go through all these option and declines and all this stuff, and hope the Eagles let him go with that franchise tag. You know, there's a lot. There's many a slip from cup to lip, as an old man that I used to know used to say.
They had a lot of options there in the Post today about quarterbacks and this and that. The Giants are a good team.
Yeah.
You know, they got a running back, they got a wide receiver. He's only gonna play two more years anyway, Foles. He's not like all these other quarterbacks, you know.
No, he's not gonna play 2 years. He said he's at least four left.
Is that what he said?
No, well why would he only have two? He's just turning 30.
Did he say four years?
Well, he hasn't said anything, but why would you think it would only be two?
Because that's how he is. You know, he's a different quarterback. You know, he's got enough money for his family.
I love this, Dennis. I love this. It's like, were you living in the guest room of the Foles residence?
No.
People have this opinion on what kind of guy he is. We don't have any idea, like, what he thinks of money, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I just, you know.
All right.
And I know what? I think Brown is a good coach.
Okay.
Who else is out there?
Well, I'm sure there's other coaches out there. Oh, I got the Post right in front of me. I don't see any giant Post, any Giants false story.
No, the only thing.
I see Jaguars.
That's right. It.
Jaguars playing coy on Foles.
That's it.
There was something from 2 days ago, but it was just speculative.
This is what troubles me about him liking Brett Brown. Every single other sentence he said during that call was false.
It was inaccurate.
Like, also, the story from Heyman was that the manager and Harper hit it off because they're both really intense guys, and they were like fast friends. So that what's reported is the complete opposite of people not liking
them. People have an opinion. There is an opinion out there that those guys won't come because of Kapler. Baseball managers have nothing to do with whether a high-priced player is going to come to your team. Nothing. It is never in the history of baseball have you heard a guy go, I don't want to play there. They're offering me the most money. But you know that manager, he's like his tan just rubs me the wrong way. It's not going to happen. Star players don't care. The marginal players may care because they may get used, you know, weirdly. But a guy like Harper dictates. 610-632-0975. Mike Mussnelli Show back after this.
Fighting for third, this Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by Rosenbaum Injury Law, the power of justice for accidents, malpractice, or nursing home abuse. Remember Rosenbaum, over two decades helping our community. Sixers hit the road to play the Pacers tonight. Joel Embiid is questionable with back tightness. The teams are neck and neck for third in the Eastern Conference. You can hear that game right here on the Fanatic at 7. Flyers beat the Bruins last night 4-3 for their second win in a row. Sean Couturier helped the rally with a hat trick.
Now tipped away at center ice. Couturier's in. On the left side, looks. He shoots. He scores! His first career hat trick as they rain down from the crowd. The Flyers have hat tricks in back-to-back games and now have taken a 4-2 lead.
They'll play the Canadiens on Saturday. You can hear that game on the Fanatic at 7. Eagles defensive line coach Chris Wilson and wide receivers coach Gunter Brewer will not return to the team next year. Our Big Green giveaway continues. Listen at 4 for your chance at $1,000. Hey, football fans, celebrate an epic game on February 3rd with Yellowtail Wines. Available at your favorite local retailer, Yellowtail tastes like happy. Imported by Dutch Family Wine and Spirits, Stamford, Connecticut. Watch your tail, drink responsibly. We know you're busy, so we made it even easier for you to hear any of our shows that you've missed. Go to 975thefanatic.com or download the Fanatic app for our daily Best of Show podcast. I'm Natalie Eganoff for 975 The Fanatic.
Mike Missanelli
on 975 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Mike Mussnelli Show. You know what that means. 3:30. It's time for an update for our Twitter poll. It's brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Natalie.
Over 1,400 votes so far on this one. Of the Sixers' next 12 opponents, 9 are playoff teams, and all 12 are over 500. Will the Sixers be better than 6-6? 73% say yes, 27% say no.
Three. It's gone up from 71. Yes, a lot of believers out there. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
So that means if it's if they don't do that, it's obviously Brett Brown's fault, which we are Twitter poll for tomorrow.
It always is.
I was bidding for a twofer. And if you were listening to the end of yesterday's show, I had the Flyers dead cold at a -144 for Boston.
Yep.
The line was screaming at me. And the Flyers down 2-0 come roaring back on another Hattie.
It was exciting.
All right, so that was one. The other one, Penn State Nittany Lions let me down.
Oh, no.
Penn State Nittany Lions had the lead with 11 minutes to go, and they squandered it against Iowa, a ranked team that they were favored to beat last night.
I hate when that happens.
I hate when it happens, too. I know you were heartbroken.
Oh, yeah,
lost.
Always.
They went after an 8-0 lead. They looked, things looking good, and they just couldn't make a shot in the end. Let's go to Nelson in Allentown. Nelson, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Nelson.
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
What's going on, Nelson?
Hey, I just wanted to tell you that Walter is completely crazy. I don't know what the hell he was talking about with Carson's legs and whatnot, but I'm just going to break it down like this. I think that Carson Wentz is a quarterback of the future, and mm-hmm. I think Nick Foles is a situational quarterback. I think you use Nick Foles in the situation that we used him the past 2 years. One got us a ring. This year it didn't. That's unfortunate. Next year we'll go back to him. We'll see how healthy he is. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, let's get this whole Foles idea out of here. Let's ship this guy out of here. I'm sick of it because I think you take a guy like, let's take Dak Prescott, for instance. put Dak Prescott in Nick Foles' situation, I think he gets just as far in the playoffs. I don't think Nick Foles is anything special. I think he's
realize you're sticking a dagger in the Natalie here with this kind of chat. There's nothing special.
No, it's not.
Nothing special about a guy that brought you a Super Bowl. Nelson.
He's a situational guy. You know what I mean? He got it done. He got it done. Doug called that Philly. He went with it. I'm with that. You know what I mean?
Nick called the Philly, and Doug went along with it. It was the opposite.
Was
Nick who called it. Yeah. Okay. No, I agree with you. He's a situational quarterback, and that's why I was on hold. That's why I was saying, you know what? That situational thing could turn into a permanent thing if this guy pulls it off again. But since he lost in New Orleans, he went back to situational status. I agree.
All right. Thank you. That's all I was trying to say to these guys. These guys are absolutely nuts, talking about his legs.
But Nelson, it's hard to give up on Nicky for some people. You know that.
Yeah, I know that. I don't know, Mike. But okay. Go Sixers, go Birds, go Fruit.
It's like taking a puppy away from a kid.
I don't know why you think that I'm not fine with him going. I'm fine with him going.
No. He was just completely depleting him.
Yeah.
As a situational quarterback, and let's get him out of town.
Right.
Like he wasn't giving him the proper respect, which I know you desire. The proper respect for your boy.
Well, I do think he deserves a little bit more than what that guy gave him.
There you go. Wow, that's
awesome. Let's make some noise. Come on.
That's what I was suggesting. Denzel in West Philly. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Denzel.
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
What's up, Denzel?
Hey, I was calling to talk about the Brett Brown situation. You were talking about who is he supposed to have made better.
Yes. Who?
Ben Simmons. He still can't shoot.
Who? Ben Simmons.
Our starting point guard. He can't shoot still. He's been there for 3 years. He's been this is his third year in the league. Granted, first year he was injured. But Embiid was too, and he came back at least with a jump shot.
All right, now listen, I can't discount what you're saying here because that hasn't happened. But what was Brett Brown supposed to do about that if the guy is unwilling to shoot it?
I have this argument with people all the time. Like, when you work with somebody, how can you tell somebody you're unwilling? He's the head coach. You're supposed to, like, that's what you're supposed to drill in his head. You can't tell a head coach nobody but probably LeBron can walk in and tell a head coach, I'm not going to shoot. You're a basketball player. You're here to play basketball. It's not like he's awful, like he's a big.
Do you think Brett Brown is not telling him to shoot?
Yeah, but I think he's too much. He's too friendly. It's not like a demand, more is it a...
All right, give me the Denzel way handle it. I want to hear you how you would handle a pro player now, and he's reluctant to shoot. What are you going to do?
Take him out. Put him on the bench.
And how does that help your team?
If you make him shoot, that's what you need.
Denzel, Ben Simmons is a 35-minute player. Put him on the bench. How does it help your team? Is your team going to be good enough to win without him?
No, but we're not good enough.
So what, are you supposed to lose to teach him a lesson?
We're going to lose regardless. He's not shooting the ball.
Yeah, well, they win a lot of games with him playing 35 minutes.
You know we're not beating Boston or the Boston.
But you're still not answering my question. You can't
put a power forward or center on our point guard that won't pull up for a jump
shot. I'm in agreement with you, Denzel. I'm merely asking you to explain how a pro coach is supposed to make that happen. You know, it's an impossible situation. You think that he drills shooting all the time. In practice, he's shooting jumpers all the time. He was told during the summer, work on your game, shoot so many jumpers. He did that. In the game, he won't shoot the ball. What is the coach supposed to do? I got the solution. You know how you have the shock collars? For dogs.
Yeah.
When there's an open shot, Brett Brown has to have the button on Ben Simmons. A little shock reminder. That's basketball coaching by George Orwell.
Now, what's funny is, you're joking. but there are fans out there who heard that.
Who think that's possible?
Yeah, and they're like, that would work. Yeah, that's what he needs to do. You got to make him. Like, that's how sick this thing is.
Exactly. It wouldn't be abuse or anything.
Right, like, he would go for it, too. Like, as you go place the collar on, he's not going to fight back.
Yeah. Make me a golden retriever out there. Claire in Westchester, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Claire.
Hey,
Hey, Mike, first time caller.
Hello, Claire.
I listen to your show every single day.
Thank you, Claire.
And I love it. Tyrone, you took a picture with me at the Sixers game when we played the Mavericks a couple weeks ago, and I wanted to thank you for that.
Oh,
super
no problem.
Nice.
Uh-huh. Tyrone's the selfie king now.
Oh, yeah. I recognized him right away.
Selfie king.
All that TV work. So
I love it.
I'm calling about the Foles-Wentz thing.
Uh-huh.
I was super disappointed that we lost that game to New Orleans. However, there was a silver lining. I thought, finally, the Foles-Wentz controversy will be done. We can move along. Thank you for your Super Bowl win, mm-hmm. the Super Bowl MVP.
Mm-hmm.
And now Carson can have his job back. And that I don't know why these people can't move along and say, okay, we have a young quarterback who was coming off of an injury, who maybe was pressing a little too mm-hmm. hard, re-injured something else because, you know, your body's thrown out of whack when your legs aren't under you, and give him another chance.
Claire, I'm in total agreement with you, but here's the thing about people. And we've been talking about, like, this discovery of Nick Foles and most of them who were members of the Folesian Society. Do you have any children?
Yes, I have two.
Okay. What happened the first time you tried to take a Wolbie away?
They were very upset.
Well, now if you could take that concept and translate it to an adult level with Nikki.
Right.
That's what it is here. Now, they'll eventually get over it, but the Wolbie is being tugged from them.
Now, I would like to point out to the Folesian Society that, because the argument I keep hearing is, but he won us the Super Bowl, ergo, he will win us another one.
Mm-hmm.
There's another quarterback from Westlake High School who has only won one Super Bowl, and he beat us last
Correct.
Year. So I would just like to lay that out there.
That's good
and
stuff.
It's been quite some time.
Claire, this is good. This is a great call, and you actually went because you went ergo. We don't get too many air goes here on the show.
Thank you, Mike.
That's an awesome call. Air go. You don't get many of those.
No, that was a good call.
That was a good segue with the air go.
I wanted you to say it because if I said it, it would just be because she shouted me out and all that stuff. That was a really good call.
It was a really good call.
She's awesome.
Yeah, that was a good point.
Oh, look. Meek Mill's here. Wait, it's Tyrone. Oh, it's Tyrone.
Listen. Some people do want to take pictures, and I am flattered and shocked every single time. It makes me feel really good.
Well, there you go. So you're on the train now.
Well, we'll see.
You're on the selfie train.
We'll see. I just want this show to go well.
Now let me ask you a question.
Sixers outsiders tonight to go well. One at a time.
Mr. Grumbles. Are you smiling in these selfies?
No.
Or are you doing the Tyrone?
I'm doing what I do. I am me 24/7.
Do you put the hand out like you do in the pictures?
Sometimes I put the hand out. Sometimes I give the point to the person.
You give it this?
I give them that. I give them
the
point.
That's the best one.
This is what I do. I found a picture. I went through an album when I was like 11. And guess how I was posed?
Like this?
Just like that. It's the only one I got. It's not that. That's it. And sometimes I point to the person. I do the point.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome tonight, Mayor Jim. Wait, Tyrone's here. Tyrone. Selfie time.
Selfie time.
Tyrone Johnson will be taking selfies in the northwest corner.
Yeah, we set that up.
Mercedes-Benz Lounge.
Listen, Fan Fest are already planning it. Maybe we should set up a little selfie area.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be, we're going to have probably separate selfie areas now. See, last year was the team.
No, I still have the team photo. We still have the team photo.
Now, you're bigger than Hal Washington.
No.
Yes, you are. 610-632-0975. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. On 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
So I found myself two nights ago scrambling through the television to find a bad movie to watch. And lo and behold, I found one. Days of Thunder.
Yeah.
However, that was my Nicole Kidman era right there. The way she looked in that was when I was big on Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
She looks completely different now than those days.
Let me see.
Of curly, redheaded innocence.
Yeah. Sure, her face doesn't move anymore.
No, well, like anybody else who gets to that a certain age, they tighten it up a little bit. But that Days of Thunder, Nicole Kidman.
Oh, wow.
You see what I'm talking about now?
Yeah.
That natural porcelain beauty.
Very, very 1990.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Days of Thunder. Cold Trickle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't hear about Tom much anymore.
No, you don't. You don't hear about his personal life anymore either.
Well, you know why?
I don't mind.
No, no, but you know why? that unfortunately, that his religion has caused a lot of controversy. I don't want to upset any Scientologists that may be listening, but it's controversial. So, and now there's been people who have claimed that the grooming process for Tom is a very peculiar process. He doesn't just ask you out. It's a thing. Like a questionnaire.
Like what kind of questions?
Well, he has to get the right spiritual partner.
No. It's no.
What?
It's and more has to do with
Well, why is it not?
According to the rumors and stuff, you almost have to be groomed for him to ask you out in the first place. Like there's like a process beforehand.
Are you do you already have to be a Scientologist? Is that what you mean?
What's the grooming consist of?
Beyond just it's not just to be a Scientologist. It was a lot of things, and there's non-disclosure agreements involved, and a lot of stuff. I'm serious. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not making this up. Like just for him to then take you to start the courting process, and then who knows if it's going to work out once you start. But you have to sign a non-disclosure just to date him, apparently. And then steps 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 have to happen. You have to be signed. Because there are Scientologists out there who might not want to sign a non-disclosure agreement.
Uh-huh.
Or say that they won't tell their parents that they're dating Tom Cruise. And all of that stuff apparently is in the current rules for dating them. So to go on one date, you got to go through a bunch of stuff. I'm not doing that.
That's way too much.
That's what I mean.
He sounds like a pain.
Well, I don't know
paperwork
why.
Paperwork before the first date?
Yes. That's what the claims are. It's like, whoa, Tom. That's a lot.
All right, now, let me ask you this peculiar question since Tom Cruise is now on my mind. Is Tom Cruise a better actor than Tom Hanks?
No.
He's not?
No. I don't think he is.
All right, let's, top five.
God. Oh, God.
This is just for sake of argument.
Okay.
I just wrote down what I think is top five movies.
Yes.
Now let's go with Hanks' top five.
Yes.
Well, give me Hanks' top five.
All right, it's top five. Well, Gump.
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia's in it. Gump has to be in it. He won the. He was nominated for. The Band of Brothers.
Private Ryan.
I mean, yeah, Private Ryan. Band of Brothers was on HBO.
Philadelphia. Apollo? Gump. Private Ryan.
Yeah, Apollo.
Apollo 13.
And Castaway.
Castaway
was good.
Yeah, let's go with those. He was nominated for that as well. I know. You're rolling your eyes at the movie. Not the movie, the performance. Because the Cruise movies are better movies.
All right. Here's five of them. Of those five.
Uh-huh.
Philadelphia and Private Ryan are stellar performances.
Gump was too.
Gump was not.
Oh, boy.
Gump was a comic strip.
Oh, yeah. Green Mile.
Green Mile was great.
You released something and put Green Mile. That was courtesy of Booney.
Okay. All right. Green Mile. Now, Cruise.
Yeah.
Magnolia.
Good movie.
He was sensational in that movie.
He was good in Magnolia. I'm not going to... I'll grant you that one.
All right. Jerry Maguire.
See, that's my... probably my favorite movie
really, really
of
good
all time.
Movie. Cuba Gooding did all the hard work.
All right. Vanilla Sky.
Crazy movie. I love the movie. Cameron Diaz was the best person in that movie.
All right. Rain Man.
Hoffman was a beast in that movie.
You're not giving this man any credit at all.
I know, you're not naming it. Top Gun. He was fantastic.
I got Top Gun, but Top Gun's comic strip-ish, so I got that down on the list.
All right.
Risky Business as the young Tom.
He's great. Listen, Tom Cruise is an underrated actor, but I don't think he's as good as Hanks. But he's underrated. But him being underrated is because of him and his
proclivities. Who has done sillier movies?
They both have done
Cruise
this.
Or Hanks?
Well, they both done silly. How many Mission Impossibles? Half the Mission Impossibles have been great.
I didn't put any Mission Impossibles on there. Well, I didn't put Jack Reacher on there.
Weirdo movie.
He was great in Tropic Thunder.
He was, okay.
He was really good. I didn't even put that on the list. Tropic Thunder. The Last Samurai. Okay,
see?
Done without that.
See?
Eyes Wide Shut. Was stupid.
Yeah. That was right before the end, right?
Days of Thunder, ridiculous. All right. That's just a filibuster.
Oh, yeah. Born on the 4th of July.
Born on the 4th of July. He was fantastic in.
He was fantastic in that. That's courtesy of
Bonnie
as well.
Forgot about that one. Born on the 4th of July is better than anything Hanks has ever done.
No. The movie and the performances are different. Tom Cruise movies are better than just about anybody's movies up until a certain point. Recently, not so much. But his body of work from the beginning, from Outsiders,
I love the Outsiders.
From Outsiders all the way up to Mission Impossible 2. Because that was a good
far
movie.
Far and Away with Nicole.
I didn't like him. I didn't like their movies together, per se.
Eyes Wide Shut, you didn't like?
No.
Nah.
How about Stefan Georgievich and All the Right Moves?
Right. From Outsiders up to Mission Impossible 2, his resume is unmatched. But from Mission Impossible 2 on, a lot of holes in that resume. But that's a 20-plus year run.
Very underrated actor.
He's underrated.
610-632-0975 back after this.
Indiana. This Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for workers. If you or someone you know has been injured at work, visit martinlaworkerscomp.com now. Sixers hit the road to play the Pacers tonight. Joel Embiid is questionable with back tightness. The teams are neck and neck for third in the Eastern Conference. You can hear that game right here on the Fanatic at 7. Flyers beat the Bruins last night 4-3 for their second win in a row. Sean Couturier helped the rally with a hat trick.
Now tipped away at center ice. Couturier's in on the left side. Looks. He shoots. He scores! A 4-2 lead.
They'll play the Canadiens on Saturday. You can hear that game on the Fanatic at 7. Eagles defensive line coach Chris Wilson and wide receiver coach Gunter Brewer will not return to the team next year. Our Big Green giveaway continues. Listen at 4 for your chance at $1,000. Hey, football fans, celebrate an epic game on February 3rd with Yellowtail Wines. Available at your favorite local retailer, Yellowtail tastes like happy, imported by Dutch Family Wine and Spirits. Stamford, Connecticut, watch your tail, drink responsibly. We know you're busy, so we made it even easier for you to hear any of our shows that you've missed. Go to 975thefanatic.com or download the Fanatic app for our daily Best of Show podcast. I'm Natalie Eganoff for 975 The Fanatic.
Mike Missinelli
on 975 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.